Spontaneous scrotal fecal fistula in an infant, a case report and review of literature. Introduction. Inguinal hernia repair is one of the most common general neonatal and pediatric operations. The reported incidence of inguinal hernia varies from 0.8% to 4.4% in children. The risk of incarceration of inguinal hernia in children varies between 5 to 23.6%, the highest reported being 60% in the first 6 months of life. The risk of strangulation following incarcerated inguinal hernia in infants is very low and ranges between 0 to 1.8%. On rare occasions, incarcerated bowel can perforate, leading to formation of enteroscrotal cutaneous fistula. In this paper, a case of enteroscrotal cutaneous fistula is described and the literature is reviewed. The case history. A one-month-old boy was admitted to the hospital with the chief complaint of persistent swelling at the right inguinoscrotal area and discharging feces from the scrotum for a week. He was the first of a set of twins born at term normally at hospital and his postnatal condition was good. His mother noticed a reducible right inguinoscrotal swelling since birth. However, he did very well until a week before admission when mother noticed that it was irreducible and was discharging feces from scrotum. He also had associated vomiting, feeds refusal and had not passed motion, cough and cold for which he was treated at primary health care center for 3 days before admission. Examination revealed that he was 2.25 kilograms, ill, dehydrated and his abdomen was mildly distended without visible loops of bowels. At admission, he was hypothermic, peripheral cyanosis and scleroderma was noticed. An irreducible right inguinal hernia was noticed with gangrene of the right scrotum. Fecal matter was seen discharging from the scrotum, table oblique figure 1. The left inguinoscrotal area was normal. Examination of other systems did not demonstrate any abnormality. Routine laboratory investigations gave the following results. Hemoglobin 10 g/cl, he needed blood transfusion. Total and differential WBC counts was 98,000 per cm. His serum electrolyte was sodium 131.2 mmol per liter, potassium 3.4 mmol per liter, C-reactive protein was not done. Blood culture showed heavy growth of Pseudomonas species. Gas shadows were seen at the right inguinal of the abdomen and pelvis. There was no evidence of free air on the radiograph. Exploration of the inguinal canal under general anesthesia was carried out after initial stabilization of the patient and this revealed an inguinoscrotal hernia containing a loop of intestine and Meckel's diverticulum. A perforation at the anti-mesenteric border 6 cm proximal to the Meckel's diverticulum was observed. Table oblique figure 3. Resection of the part of the ileum containing the perforation and diverticulum was performed and end-to-end anastomosis was made. The right testicle appeared normal. Herenotomy and debridement of the scrotal skin was also done and the scrotal skin closed with a drain. He received a combination of ceftriaxone, tazobactam, amikacin and metronidazole, to which ampiclox was added on 4th post-operative day. His general condition did not improve much after operation. His scleroderma persisted, developed pneumonitis and unfortunately died of septicemia on the 5th post-operative day. The discussion. Congenital inguinal hernia is one of the commonest surgical conditions in children. Congenital inguinal hernia in children is a result of the failure of the process vaginalis to obliterate. Boys are 10 to 12 times more affected than girls. It is also reported more frequently in premature. The risk of incarceration has been reported to be as high as 60% in the first 6 months of life. Perforation of the intestinal region and right scrotum on plain radiograph through scrotal wall of the incarcerated inguinal hernia is extremely rare and only 7 such cases have been reported in the world literature till date. Summary of the above case are given in table oblique figure 1. This complication appears to occur only in developing countries, that is India and Nigeria, and was due to late presentation, including our case. Out of 8 cases, including ours, of spontaneous enteroscrotal fecal fistula in neonates and infants, there were right side involvement in 7 and only 1 patient had left side presentation. This is because of predominance of right-sided inguinal hernia in children. The ipsilateral testis is always at risk of ischemia or necrosis because of compression of the spermatic guard structures by the strangulated or incarcerated inguinal hernia. In review of 8 cases including ours, at 2 occasions, orchidectomy was needed. Morbidity of incarcerated and strangulated inguinal hernia in newborn is high with an attendant risk of bowel gangrene and testicular infarction. The preferred and gold standard management of incarcerated inguinal hernia in children without evidence of strangulation is non-operative reduction under analgesia and sedation followed by an elective planned heninotomy after 48 to 72 hours. When strangulation is present, surgery is mandatory to avoid septicemia, even in patients decompressing intestine through scrotal fistula. The principle of early referral and repair of inguinal hernias should be encouraged to avoid morbidity and possible avoidable mortality.